All right, welcome to part two of our series called Uncommon. And as I like to always do right here, I'd like to welcome those who are part of our online campus. Come on, everybody, can we just welcome everybody? We're glad you're part of our family today. Glad to have you here. Want to jump right into this message today, but let me just begin, first of all, by giving a shout out to all of our small group leaders, our small group pastor, Pastor Steve Guptill, doing a phenomenal job. We launched last week our new semester, yeah. And I'm hearing great successful stories coming back. We just love small groups because we just love people. And really, it's all about relationships. And if it's a curriculum-based small group, that's great. But by the way, just to give you a little inside scoop, and that is that curriculum is just an excuse, because the real goal of small groups is to get you into a relationship, because real life change happens in the context of relationships. Iron sharpens irons. We need each other. And so I want to encourage you with that as far as getting involved in a small group. And if we don't have the kind of small group you're looking for, then see Pastor Steve Guptill. He'll show you how that you can start your own. And it's easier than you think, so I want to encourage you with that. Get out your message notes out of your worship guide, if you would, and we're going to jump right into this. And if you're watching online, those message notes are available right now at our website. Go to crosspointworshipcenter.com and you can grab those notes as well and follow along with us. I want to begin by talking about the thesis of this series, and that is really that good relationships are possible, but not always probable. Your chances are not necessarily good ones, especially if you're going to do it the world's way. So we're talking about relationships. Again, we're coming up on Valentine's Day, February the 14th, this week. and relationships are more than, more than just between a husband and wife we're talking about, but really all of us, as long as we're on this planet, we are involved in relationships of some sort. And so I believe this is going to be beneficial for you, whether you're married or whether you are single. So I want to encourage you to just really lean in, and I believe God's got something great for us today. I think today, actually, of all five parts of this series, is probably going to be the most challenging. And so I just pray that you would just give God a clean slate and let God just speak into your life, because I believe God wants to do something very significant. One contrasting thought here is that there's the world's way, and then there is God's way. There's the world's way, but then there's God's way. I want to begin with our theme scripture that's found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. So this world has some behaviors and some customs that they're going to present to you. You know, Hollywood, glamorizes things and makes things look like it's all perfect. If you're at my house, sometimes the Hallmark channel is on. I'm sorry, here I am with another Hallmark reference. Everything's perfect on Hallmark. I know, I got to turn in my man card. My son walks through and says, what are you doing, Dad? Anyway, and it's so perfect. Have you ever noticed there's no ugly people on Hallmark Channel? I'm just saying. But they make this, okay, but listen, folks, that's not the real world. That's not the real world. And there's a way that the world presents of how we're supposed to do relationships. We see it on social media. We see it in different venues. And really, it doesn't work. We find out that those things do not work. In fact, if you look at just TV alone, don't even worry about movies and all the other venues of media, but TV alone, 91% of sexual encounters on TV are outside of marriage. And so I want you to hear this. There's a branding that's going on to say that this is how you're supposed to live your life. But I just got to say, it does not work. Not only for righteousness' sake, but it doesn't work for you. It'll destroy you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It'll destroy you. And so the goal of this is to let God transform us. And we're going to get into more of that in the end of this message. But look at what it goes on to say. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. And so there's a transformation that needs to happen. And I love that it says, let God transform you. And that's why, listen, God is not just a God to be understood. He's a God to be experienced. Somebody needs to hear that. I need to repeat that. God's not just a God to be understood. He is a God to be experienced. Because God wants to do a work inside of us so that we can live a different life. He wants to change us. He wants to transform us into a brand new person. And it begins by changing the way you think. It begins by changing your thinking process. And so I'm not God here this morning. I'm just your pastor, okay? I can't change you, but I can hopefully be used by God to help change the way that you think, that you can open up and I can present some truths to you and in which you can invite God into and it begin to change your life. So I'm going to bring you some truths this morning. And again, if we can open up and hear what God is saying, I believe it has the power to transform our life. And then look what it goes on to say. That verse goes on to say, then you will learn to know God's will for you. Look at this. Which is good and pleasing and perfect. And as while that may sound idealistic, listen, God wants you to have in your marriage it to be good and pleasing and perfect. He wants, even in your job, it to be good and pleasing and perfect. Now, that doesn't mean life is perfect, but God has a perfect plan and a perfect will for your life, and it's good. He wants your relationships and your relationships with your kids to be good, pleasing, and perfect. And so, I want to present to you a couple things. First of all, there's the world's way when we look at relationships. And it's this way. Number one, and that is that we want to find the right person. Oh, if I could just find the right person, that right person will complete me. You know, I got to find my soulmate, my soulmate. How many of you use that term? Don't raise your hands. Soulmate. She's my soulmate. He's my soulmate. You know, and so we go on the hunt. We go on the hunt. You know, and we got to find that right relationship. Got to find the right person. Sometimes it's trying to find the right job. If I could just find the right job, you know, this one's not working. I got to find another one. So we're never satisfied. We even do that. That's just not in my notes. But we even do that with churches. Just got to find the right. If I could get the right things around me, then life will be good. So we go on the hunt. But in relationships, we try to find the right person, and then. Second thing is we fall in love. We fall in love as if we, you know, can't help it. We fall. Like, it sounds like we fell into a ditch, doesn't it? Just fell into a ditch. I can't help it. I just fell. You know, I was committed to you, but I fell in love with her. I can't help it. I just fell. I didn't plan on it, but I just fell. Listen, that's not love, okay? That's the world's way, and it doesn't work. And then once we find this person, we fall in love, then we fix all of our hopes and dreams on them. That's my soulmate. That's the one that's going to fix everything. And so what happens is we really set ourselves up for failure. And then number four, and if failure occurs, then we just repeat steps one, two, and three. That's what we do. And we see people repeating that over and over. So that's the world's way. And it occurs so often. It's a picture. It's a picture of the way we do things. It's a picture of the single scene. And can I just say something to those of you that are single, that aren't married yet? The world's definition of the common dating scene is probably not the best scene. There is a biblical way of courtship, and I would recommend that. We could talk more about that on another time, and we've talked about that in the past. But we have this dating scene where we really practice for divorce. You know, we commit to somebody, sort of. We try them out, and then after we're tired of them, then one year it's, you know, be my Valentine, right? And then by the next year you got another Valentine. It's a disposable relationship. So you try that one didn't work. Let me try this one, that one didn't work. And so we're so used to, you know, just throwing things away when they don't work. We get into a marriage and, well, when I get tired of you, I've done it so long, I'll just throw you away too. There's a better way for that. But let's look at God's way. God's way is not to find the right person, but to become the right person. become the right person. So that means let God do something inside of me so that I can bring something to the relationship without expecting something coming to me. I want to become the right person. I want to be the best husband I can be. I want to be the right pastor. I want to be the right employee. I want to be the right friend. I want to be that right person, right? So there's a huge difference in that. And so it's submitting to the transforming power of God, so it's not something on the outside that's going to fix me, but it's actually allowing God to come on the inside and transform me on the inside to become the right person. And then the next thing is that we don't just fall in love, but rather we now walk in love because we're whole on the inside. And so we walk in love. And so love is not a feeling, it's a choice. It's not what you feel, it's what you do. Colossians says, put on love. It's not something you fall into. It's an act of your will. It's not acting out of your feelings. Feelings are selfish, and we all can trend to that if we're not careful. That's our human nature. I mean, how do we love unlovable people? You know, people that aren't loving us back is because you are walking in love, and it is a choice, and you walk in that. And then third, we don't just fix our hopes and dreams on that other person. We now fix our hopes and our dreams on God, right? And we let God transform us and empower us on the inside. And if failure occurs, and sometimes it does, we repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. Okay? That's God's way. I want to talk to you this morning about uncommon commitment. And I believe most marriages fail for lack of commitment. We live in a very contractual type of world. Even the Bible talks about covenant relationship, meaning it's permanent, meaning I'm willing to stick it out through the rough times. If any of you ever closed on a house, when you're purchasing a home and you're closing with a bank and you have a mortgage, and there's a couple of papers there you have to sign, aren't there? No, it's a stack of papers. You know, if you don't do this, then we're going to do this, and if this happens and this happens, and all these legalities covering. And we do that sometimes even with relationships. You know, get me a prenup, right? And I believe that we actually set ourselves up for failure if that is our approach from the very beginning. And I'm going to give you a scripture that's not in your notes, but write this one down. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. And it's a heavy word, but it's the word never. God said, never will I leave you. Jesus said, never will I forsake you. Never. In other words, there's nothing that you can do to make me stop loving you. There's nothing that you can do to make me stop going after you. There's no place you can go to, no matter how far you go, that I am not going to pursue you. The Bible says His mercies endure forever. And if we want to have strong relationships, we need that kind of commitment. And what I'm talking about is having a powerful relationship that's strong, but it's strong through this thing called commitment. It's when we throw this thing of an out clause out the window. And when that happens, when we have that kind of commitment, listen, you're setting yourself up to having an awesome, awesome relationship. I'm not trying to put you in a thing where you say, well, this is difficult what you're sharing with me. I'm explaining how you can have an incredible, awesome relationship. And it's a tough message, okay? It's a tough message. And I know we've been trained by the society, no, you do the prenups, you have options. And I'm going to tell you, you rob yourself right off the bat from having this powerful relationship that God intended us to have when we do this. Let me give you a scripture that's found in Malachi chapter 2. And this is a heavy scripture, but it ends with something extremely, extremely powerful. It says, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. So in other words, we're crying out to the Lord. It says, you weep and wail because he no longer looks with favor on your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. So we're saying, Lord, I'm doing everything I know to do. And so we're wailing out to him. We're crying. And we're saying, we're going to church. We're doing all these things. I'm giving in the offering. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But where are you? Where are you? Why does my life look the way it looks? Look at verse 14. It says, and you ask why? And he answers, it's because the Lord has been watching us, okay? He's been looking at our life. And he says, I'm witness between you and the wife of your youth. The most intimate relationship that you should have is your marriage. And he says, you have been unfaithful to her, though she is your partner and the wife of your marriage covenant. There's one scripture that talks about when we come down to the altar, if you've got aught against somebody, you leave your gift there and go be restored. And what God's saying here is this relationship, things aren't working because that's not where it should be. Look at verse 15. He says, has not the one God made you? You believe in him in body and spirit, and what does the one God seek? God the offspring. So he's saying this is not just affecting you, but it's also your relationship with your spouse is affecting your children as well. And he says, so be on your offspring and do not be unfaithful to your wife. Be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. Don't be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. So, in other words, when you got tough, the tough got going, right? But then look at this next one. The man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord, the God of Israel, and I love this line, does violence to the one he should protect. He does violence to the one that he should protect. So, The very commitment, the aspect of commitment that you had when she needed you to be there, when things went wrong, you did her harm and you abandoned her when she needed you. Think about this. You don't even need commitment unless there's a moment that you don't want to be committed. I mean, why be committed? Why did he say, I'm committed to you? Well, if you love somebody, why you don't need commitment, right? We just love each other. You're committed because of that moment where challenges arise. I mean, why commit if you already like them? It's not even necessary to commit to something unless there's going to be that bad day. And you went and got violent the very day you were supposed to be protecting the relationship. The very day you were supposed to be there for them on their darkest day when they needed you the most, they needed to count on you to be there. And you went and got violent. In other words, you didn't back them up. You didn't stay committed. And he says, do not be unfaithful. Now, let me just parentheses here. I'm not talking about staying in an abusive situation. There's ways to deal with that, okay? And it doesn't mean that you're just stay no matter what endlessly in an abusive situation. No, I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that in our relationships, there may be a situation where we need to be unhappy for a while as we work it out. Kim needs to know that she has the ability to speak some things into my life that I may not be doing right, that she doesn't like in me. She needs to have the ability to express that to me. And I'm not going to respond with, huh, really? Huh, I'm hitting a road, Jack. No come back, not coming back, no more. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she needs to be able to speak that into me and know that I am committed to her no matter what. Now, let me give you this line. Write this one down. Commitment means staying loyal to what you said you were going to do long after the mood you said it didn't left you. That's good, isn't it? Say it again. Commitment means staying loyal to what you said you were going to do long after the mood you said it in left you. I said it on Valentine's Day. I said it when the mood was right. I said it when the music was on. I was in the heat of the moment. You know, I was, you know. We say it on our wedding day. And I've done a lot of weddings. And they do the vows, you know. To have it, to hold. Richer for poor, for better for worse, sickness and in health. And then this line, till death us do part. And yet there's been a lot of them that, it wasn't death. I thought death was the only thing that was going to part you. No, you're going to get through the sickness and the good days and the bad days. So maybe in a counseling session, we should just go ahead and sit down and maybe I should just, you know, say, hey, is there anything other than death that would separate you? If so, let's just go ahead and put that in the vow. Come on, let's just get it right. Yeah, let's put it in. Is there anything else that you could think of that would separate you? Let's just get it right. Right? Are there other reasons? I got to share this with you. I shared with you a song last week, the song Not to Have. Remember? When a man loves a woman. That's not a good song to have, I'm just telling you. I told you the reasons last week. You missed that. Go back and listen to it. It's online. But let me give you one today. I was listening on my AirPods yesterday to Al Jarreau. Anybody know the late Al Jarreau? Come on. That's my man. I'm just telling you. Al Jarreau. Anybody? Okay. I just want to make sure I'm connecting. Anybody know who Al Jarreau is? Come on. He's the only guy that won Grammy, you know. Okay. And all these different categories. All right. And I gotta go to it. Just before church, I said I'm using this. I'm gonna screenshot here the lyrics from this song. The song is After All. I was listening to this and I was feeling the presence of the Lord listening to Al Jarreau. I said this song's almost anointed. And here's the lyrics to this After All. There was a time I knew that no matter come what may, love would prevail. And then inside the dreams I knew came the question, lover's fear, can true love fail? Then I would miss the childhood wish, and haven't I sung to you of the night in armor bright, faithful and true. Darling, after all, I will be the one to hold you. Okay, I won't sing it. In my arms. And after I will be the one to hold you, I will be the one to hold you in my arms. And he says, I know in my heart and mind that no matter come what may, love will survive. The love, the author of space and time, keeps the galaxies and each sparrow alive. And the love that heals the wound after the war is through is the knight in armor bright, faithful and true to you. Get you some of that. Come on, everybody. And he says, darling, after all, I will be the one to hold you in my arms. After all, I will be the one to hold you. I will be the one to hold you in my arms, in my arms. Come on, guys. Ladies, helping you out there. So when you go through a bad day, when you're up against it, that's what marriage is for. That's what love is for. Love is not only just for Valentine's Day. Love is when you're going through the tough places. And I always tell couples, do a little marriage counseling here. I always tell couples when you have a problem, you don't get on each side of the table and point at each other. You put the problem in the middle, and you sit there on the same side of the table, and you say, here's the problem. How do we address that together? Here's what you'll find out. Once you work through that thing together, you'll come out on the other side of that strengthened because you have held together. You have a better understanding of each other, a better appreciation of each other when you go through that together. I mean, that's what love is for. Jesus loved us when we were still unlovable. Jesus loved us before we ever knew him. Jesus put himself on the cross for you and I, and we were unlovable, and yet he demonstrated his love for us, right? So we got to be committed. Heard the story of, anybody know who the Thunderbirds are? You know those fighter pilots, those guys that, I've been to those air shows where they come. I remember my dad worked for Eastern Airlines back in the day, and he took me as a child to the airport, and we got special privileges. We got to get up on the top of the roof, you know, and like this one of them was coming, and number eight, you know, where's number eight? You know, they go out in different, anybody know what I'm talking about? They were all these shows, and somebody's in the Air Force here. This guy waving from the Air Force, all right, and so this guy Where's number eight? And next thing we know, number eight was right here. You know, come by. Those guys are amazing, the way they fly in formation. I heard of somebody that had the actually opportunity to go up in one of those jets, and he had flown, this pilot had flown with the Thunderbirds, and he was talking about how, you know, and he had another plane with him. He's talking about how they fly together, and there was this other guy, other pilot with him, and he said when he got on the ground after having this experience flying with him, he said, "Now, did y'all plan what you were going to do?" Because they did a lot of barrel rolls, all kinds of things, pulling G's. "Did y'all know what you were going to do?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, then how did you know? How did you stay together?" Because they stay right together. And he said, "There's a spot on that plane I fix my eyes. I have a fixed spot that I keep my eyes on that lead plane. And wherever he goes, I'm going. When he moves, I move." There's only one time in history one of the pilots lost control. And he went into the ocean, and the other planes went with him. Come on. But I thought, what a picture of how we need to keep our eyes, right, fixed on God and on the right thing, right? And then here's another thing that was shared in this experience, and that was he asked his pilot, he said, "Do y'all always fly like that together?" He said, "No, not always." He said, but when we are overseas and we're in a storm, get this, when we're in a storm overseas, we have to stay close together. We have to stay in formation. And I thought, what a picture, what a picture. When we're going through a storm, when we're going through something, that's when you stick closer to each other. It's not when you go apart, it's when you stick together. Amen? I think this applies in so many areas. It applies with the church, too. You're going through something, you stick together. Your job, you stick together. Your kids, you stick together. When you're going through a difficult time, that's what love is for. That's when we actually need each other. And some of you might be thinking right now, you don't understand my situation. I can't do that. You don't know. I can't. And I hear you, and I would say, no, you can't. I agree with you on that. But let me give you a scripture that's found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And many of you know this scripture, and you say, well, that's a classic scripture. That's what you see on cards and graduation plaques. But it's more than just a cute little phrase. It says this. It says, "I can do all things." Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I can. I mean, everybody just needs to say that. I can. Can you say that? I can. But how can you? Here's how you can. Look what he goes on to say. He says, "I can do all things through Christ." And there's the key. Amen. It's through Christ. Through Christ. And here's what I want us to get out of this and understand this. And that is that Christianity is not about learned behavior. And many people think that Christianity is just about learned behavior. It's Christians that have a bunch of rules and the do's and the don't. And they're always trying to be all perfect and condemn everybody that's unperfect. No, that's not what Christianity is all about. And sometimes there's been a bad PR and we packaged this thing wrong and presented ourselves wrong. Christianity is not about that. Listen, our God is a God not to be understood. He's a God to be experienced. And he's a God that wants to do a transforming work inside of you, that you can do things you never dreamed you could do, right? It's him coming on the inside, and he says, "I'll do it first. I'll model it for you. I'll go to the cross, pay for your sin and the curse of it. Then I'll send the Holy Spirit to empower you and enable you to do this thing that I've called you to do." That is what Christianity is. It's not our handouts. It's not just taking notes and saying, "I'll work harder this week and try to come be better next week," and all that. No, it's that God wants to come on the inside of us and transform us and strengthen us and cause us to do it. It's Christ in us. Amen? If you don't hear anything else, I hope you hear that. It's not just about lining up and doing all the do's and don'ts. It's actually that God comes on the inside of us. So I want to give us five things where God committed himself. Five commitments that God has made to you and I. And I would say as we go through these, don't just do them, but realize them. Experience them. Because God wants to do something inside of us. And then he gives us the capacity on the inside to do them for others. This is so powerful. This is so powerful. And I'm and the tragedy is some of us go through even through life and through even being in church, and we experience songs and we experience, you know, nice people, but we never understand that God wants to come on the inside of us and transform us. I think studies have shown even teenagers growing up in church, when they go off to college, they lose their faith, studies show. I believe it's because they've experienced church, they've experienced religion, but you've got to have a relationship. Something's got to happen on the inside of us. It's got to be internalized. Jesus comes on the inside. It's Jesus on the inside working on the outside. Oh, what a change he has made. Amen? So it's Jesus coming on the inside of us. So I want us to see this. This is so powerful. So powerful. God never intended you just, listen to this. God never intended you just to do what the Bible says. God doesn't just give you a bunch of rules and say, I want you to line up with these and do these. No, what God intends is the power of this word to come on the inside of you and empower you so that you can do it. Right? There's a power, the Holy Spirit, that comes and alongside of God's word and causes that thing to be activated and to give you the power to live that thing out. And so I want us to realize how awesome this is. And when we realize this, that what he has done for us, I mean, if we could just fall in love with him and experience him, the Bible says that as we draw close to God, we'll be like God. That doesn't mean we'll be God, okay? But in other words, we'll take on his nature. It happens inside of us. Look at these five commitments God's made to you. Number one, and that is, I commit to prioritize you. I've commit to prioritize you. So in other words, you know, many times we let other things get ahead like for instance, our relationship with our wife. We'll allow work to get ahead. We'll allow our schedules to get ahead. I'm going to get in trouble here. We're going to allow the football game to get ahead. Women are saying, yeah. So, But Jesus says, this is what God says, I commit to prioritize you. Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So I want you to hear this. He did this, and he modeled this for us. He did, so I can. Right? That's what it's saying there. He laid down his life. He did, so we can. And so for each one of these points, I want us to say that. Come on, think about it. He did. Say that with me. He did, so I can. Right? He did, so I can. Look at number two. He said, I commit to pursue you. To pursue you. Now, some of you guys, you really pursued her when you were dating, when you were courting, or whatever you want to call it. You were hot on the trail. And now that you got her, you're not really pursuing her. Can I just tell you, you need to pursue her. You need to be in hot pursuit. Can I get an amen right there from the ladies? You need to pursue her, right? Well, I don't feel like it. It's not about feeling. Love's a choice, okay? You need to be pursuing her. Valentine's coming, helping you out. And listen to this. God's in pursuit after us. Look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 in the New Living Translation. It says, look, I stand at the door and knock. And I just love this. He stands there and knocks. And some of us, he's knocking on our door already this morning. We've stiff-armed him. But I love God because he still knocks. He just keeps knocking. He just keeps knocking. He doesn't knock the door down, although he put the door there. He has the right to knock it down, but he doesn't do that. He just knocks and waiting for you. Listen, he said, if you hear my voice, open the door. I'll come in. Something's going to happen on the inside. We'll share a meal together as friends. In other words, we're going to have a relationship. He stands there and he knocks. And he did, come on, so I can. So he pursued us and he taught us how we're to pursue as well. Number three, I commit to possess you. Now that sounds a little strange at first, but let me explain it. I commit to possess you. And what that means is simply He's committed to a sense of belonging. This thing of earth and human beings is not just some science project he just threw out here and he's off attending to other things. No, he wants you to belong to him. He wants to be in relationship with you. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession, that you belong to him. Kim and I, we're committed to each other. We belong to each other, right? He did, so I can. He demonstrated that so I can have that relationship. Number four, he says, I commit to protect you. Psalm 121, verse 7 says, the Lord will protect you from all dangers. He will guard your life. He protects us. And no matter what, he protects us. I love that. I think we need to protect one another. We live in a very vicious day. If someone were to come to me and tell me about somebody in the church, I'm not going to take their word for it. I'm going to go talk to that person and see before just assuming. And a lot of times we just assume, well, it's on media, it's on social media, it must be true. It's on Facebook. It's documented. Come on, it's factual. Come on. We need to protect one another. I need you to protect me, and I protect you, and I'm going to protect my kids. And now, if it's something true, we'll deal with that. But here's the thing. We oftentimes assume the worst. We need to protect. And God protects us, and he protects me when oftentimes I'm the main problem, and yet he protects us. While we were still sinners, on our bad day, God still protected us and went to the cross and died for us. Amen? So he did, so I can. Number five, he says, I commit to purify you, to purify you. So he knew that you and I were going to blow it. There's times where we're going to blow it. And can I tell you, I believe God gets excited even when we blow it because he says, that's when they need me. In fact, you see Jesus, he comes and he meets people at the point of their need on their worst day. That's when he shows up. And I love it. Micah chapter 7 says, he delights to show mercy. He delights to show mercy. So when you mess up, he says, all right, this is where they need me. I'm going to step in. I'm going to reveal myself to them. This is the point where we can have a relationship. He knows that's the time. And when we need him the most, I love this, he comes to purify us. If we could just believe that and get a hold of that and fall in love with Jesus, it would change everything. Our kids sometimes blow it. Did you know, parents, when your kids blow it, that's when they need you the most. I heard of a parent who came up on a scene, and it was a bad scene. All the kids had done a bunch of wrong things and got in trouble. And while all these other fathers were lambasting their kids and laying it on them, man, he was this pastor friend of mine, he was checked in his spirit, and he thought, this is when my son needs me the most. This is the moment. And so intentionally, he came up with the biggest smile on his face. And he says, this is the time. You never needed me more than you need me right now. And I'm here for you. I got you back. We're going to get through this together. We're going to see this through. We're going to make it. And the kid began to sob on his father's shoulder as he embraced him and held him and helped him. While other parents were scolding and cursing their kids out. Come on. God's called us to purify that relationship. Ephesians 5 says this, husbands, love your wives just as, now that's powerful, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Jesus has demonstrated. He did so I can. So I'm to purify Kim in our relationship. I'm to purify her. I'm to cover her. I'm to purify her. I mean, I know that sounds kind of strange. You think, Kim's not the one messing up, Pastor. It's you, not her. She's an angel. I know that. You know, but every now and then, like Haley's comment, she messes up. You know, the halo comes off. Every now and then, she's human like the rest of us. But instead of me lambasting her, I'm going to purify her. What can we do? How can we fix this? I heard of a guy one time describing a plant. He had a potted plant, and it looked bad. You know, I mean, the leaves were wilted. It was brownish around the edges. It looked like it was dying, all this stuff, and it was just dried up, pitiful looking. He said, now that plant, he said, what's going to fix that plant? You don't go up and slap the plant and say, come on, get with it. Your leaves are all, what's wrong with you? You know, yeah, what? I don't want to have anything. That's a weird looking. I don't know. You say, well, let's see. It looks like you need some water. Might need some nutrients. Let's get you out in the sunlight. Come on, let's get you back to life. That's what we need to do with our relationships, with our husband, with our wife, with our kids. Come on, with those that are the significant relationships we have around us, right? And Ephesians chapter 5, 32 says this. Now, when he describes how the husband's supposed to love the wife, and that relationship, he drops down in that chapter and he reveals this. He says, this is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. Amazing, isn't it? So what Christ is saying is, even this human relationship is to demonstrate my relationship with you. So he says, I'm going to prioritize you. I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to possess you. I'm going to protect you. I want to purify you. I want to have relationship with you. Bow your heads with me. Father, thank you that you love us so much. You commit to all these things. And all you ask of us is that we just open our heart, allow you to come in, surrender ourselves to you, and allow you to do a work on the inside of us that will change us, and not just change us, but God, begin to change the relationships around us. Help us today to hear your voice and to be open to you and allow you to come in, because you have committed yourself to us. God, help us to be committed to you now. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Some of you have been dating God, but you really haven't really gone all in. And I just want to give an opportunity today to say, this is for you to be able to say, today, God, I'm committing myself to you. I'm going all in. I'm committing. I'm giving my life to you. I'm going to follow you. If you're watching online, if you're sitting in this house, I encourage you to go all in. And I want to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. But right where you're seated, if that's you, I just want to ask one time. I want you to make up your mind. Make a commitment. Decide. I'm not falling in and out of love with Jesus. And maybe you've been in a relationship with him before and you're coming back to him, or perhaps this is the first time. It doesn't matter. But you're saying, today I need to commit to a relationship with him and I need to prioritize that. Come on. I need to pursue God. I want to belong in relationship with him. I want him in my life. I want him to protect me and guard me. I want him to purify my life. And I'm committing to him. That's you right now. I want you to be able to say to God, God, today I'm committing. So my heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to just put up your hand very high and just hold it up for just a moment. Say, that's you. When you pray that prayer, would you count me in? Would you count me in? God bless you. Yes, yes. Good job. If you're watching online, join us as well. I want to just pray a prayer, just inviting him to come in. Can you just pray this from your heart? Everybody just, everybody's prays out loud for support of those that need to pray it. Just say something like this. God, thank you for loving me so much that you gave your son for me. Today I invite you to come in my life. Jesus, I accept what you did in demonstrating your love for me by laying your life down so that I could experience life. By faith, I receive you. Accept you in my heart. Come in and make me brand new. I give you my life with all of my heart. I'll follow you as you help me. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for every person who invited you to come in. Now today, I thank you, Lord. On the inside, everything's new. Oh God, I thank you that it's not our doing, but your doing. I thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. And now, Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, help us day by day to follow you. Equip us, Lord, Come on, transform us, we pray, God. Come and transform us. Transform us on the inside. Yes, Lord, I thank you for doing it now. As we surrender all, we surrender every area, God, of our life to you. Thank you for your transforming power that's able to do a work in us and a work through us for your glory. Thank you as a church, you're doing a work in us to do a work through us for your glory. And we give you all the praise and honor. For us in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God praise. Let's give God praise.
Thank you, Lord.